The beginnings. And last week, we got to see the first 3,000 or so that were added. The church came into existence from 120, boom, overnight. Pretty amazing. We're getting settled here at Alexander Palace. Finally found this hall. I think we're going to be here at least 1 week before they switch us to another one, and then we go outside. There's this kind of tension as we find the place in the hotel that works for us. But we're also finding our way and getting settled in the next routine. The Stouts just moved yesterday. They've got new routines in their life now as they get settled in a new house and new neighborhood. And kids are getting settled. Kids, is going well in school? Do we have any young kids here that just got to Macedonia and are getting settled into a new school and looking around or need to get settled into a new school? There's some of those, yes. All right. I still remember, actually, when we moved a lot. I was a Navy brat, and then Dad left, and we moved other places. But in that time, we moved from Florida, the south, up to Minnesota, and that's kind of home now for me. And I still remember going to my social studies class and the teacher up front talking to all of us, and I answered the question. I was a good kid. I raised my hand, answered it, and said, "Yes, sir, that's the answer." And he looked at me and said, "What did you say?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he says, "Are you mocking me?" "No, sir." They don't use "sir," "yes, ma'am," "no, ma'am," that military lingo or polite in the North. Just don't do it. So "yes, sir," "no, sir." He took it as mockery as opposed to the fact I was being respectful. So getting settled into a new place is not always the easiest thing. So kids, I feel sorry for you, but you're going to do well. You're going to make it. All right, this is a good spot. And here at ICS, this is the best place to be on a Sunday morning. The International Church of Skopje, this is where you belong. And as we talk about unity this morning, as we talk about that early church, we're going to see that a lot of what they had, we do. We are an amazing community here, and we do belong to one another. So today is going to be an encouraging time as we look at what it means to belong and to accept and to look out for other people. Another story in my life of growing up that I might have shared, but it's always good to share stories. I was in actually kindergarten and first grade. We lived in a little house, and on the way to school, we passed this one shack. This is a long time ago. I'm talking to kids here, so you know they're all in school. I was in school. We passed this one wooden shack. This is in Jacksonville, Florida, and it gets a little cool, kind of like Macedonia at times, and we passed by, and we realized there was this old guy that lived there. You'd see him out in his yard and didn't have a fire going in the winter, so we could tell he didn't have heating. And so my mom stopped the car one day, and all of us kids, there was four of us, we piled out, and we went and met Mr. Mitchell. And he was a Vietnam vet and didn't have any benefits and very, very poor, didn't have family around him. So my mom set on a crusade to help us to reach out to this man, this Mr. Mitchell. And so we would get on our bikes, and she would make a jar of homemade chicken soup, and we would bike over to his house and give him some food. And she helped him with the community service and helped him get connected to the community. So sometimes it's just a matter of us being somewhere and people notice, and other times we go out of our way to bring people in, invite them, care for them, see their needs. And all of that we're going to see this morning is found in this amazing group of first century Christians in this church here in the book of Acts. Let's pray, and then let's read. Father God, we come this morning to you. We come because we want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We recognize your kingdom is at work in our hearts, in our lives. It's spreading person to person around this world. And even though it started 2,000 years ago with 12 and 120 and 3,000 and 5,000 people, today this amazing church, this kingdom of yours is around the world, and we are a part of it. We ask today that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Open our eyes to how we are a part of that and what we can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the check. How many of you have your Bibles this morning? All right, those are their hard copies. Now hold up the digital copies. Who's got their digitals? All right, there's the screens. All right, make sure I know who's texting and who's actually reading the Bible. It's good to know. And if I hear the yay, that means you're not following in the text. So there's an amen at work. So just work on your lingo. All right, we're in Acts chapter 2 this morning. And it could be a yay. All right. Okay, there's not Formula One, so I know Martin's safe. Right now? Oh, okay, see, that's the thing. Amen. All right, here's the scripture then. Let's hear a yay. Yay! Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. This is, we could say, the ideal church. Man, they had it together. This is the first group. They were working hard. They received the Spirit. Actually, this is following last week's sermon, right, where the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles and the people that were gathered there, and they were preaching. This is Peter's sermon here. People responded. 3,000 people. That's 30 times what we see right here. 3,000 people were added to the church right away. God was at work. People's lives were being changed. And these verses now come as kind of a summary of what's going on. We have lots of detail before this point, and afterwards we're actually going to see some of these amazing signs and wonders that the apostles were doing. Peter healing a man on the way to the temple. So in between these details, the author here gives us this summary of what's going on, this picture of this church, of what's happening in the lives of the people here. And so in this picture here, we're seeing of their devotion to one another. So these early believers were coming together. He's actually going to read the scripture again for us. All right, thank you, Tomche. I heard it was scripture, so it wasn't the news. That's all right. I even recognize the voice from this. All right. So here in this beginning church, people are coming together. There's a lot of excitement, and we get this kind of bird's eye view of what's going on. There's not a whole lot of detail. We don't know the ins and outs, but this is the general picture of what it looks like here in the early church. And it says that the people here that were part of this were devoted to one another, to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those are the four things that marked kind of this early community. Now remember, this early community of believers are the ones that have responded to Peter's message. Peter got up and he preached, and people were cut to the heart, and they were saying, how do we respond to this? What do we do? We're guilty. We put Jesus on the cross. It was our sin that put him there. He was our Messiah, and we missed it. What do we do? And Peter responded to them, repent and be baptized. And we saw last week how that applies to us as well. We, our sin, put Christ on the cross. He died on the cross because of my sin, because of your sin. He went to the cross for us. And in Jesus going to the cross, we turn away from ourselves. We stop identifying with who we were, and we identify with Christ. We say, no, I'm no longer a sinful person. I'm a believer. I'm a holy one. I'm following Christ. We turn our life towards Jesus. So this group right here are the ones doing this. They're excited. This is how they are now orienting their life towards Christ, to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. These guys were serious. I mean, they were doing this daily, it said. This is what they're doing. They come to the temple. They see other people. They start talking. Hey, what about Jesus? What has he done in your life? What is he doing in my life? This is what we heard him teach. And they started sharing again and again with one another. They were devoted to this. They were being challenged. And the apostles, they were busy teaching. We're going to see how this develops later on. They didn't have time later for more than simply this, praying and teaching the people, preparing them, getting them ready. But right now, they're gathered together to learn. Kind of like this. They want to know. You guys are here to know what's going on in God's Word. I'm here to know what's going on in God's Word. And together, we pursue what God is trying to teach us and to change us. And they gave their lives to one another. Now, what's amazing in this community of those who responded is that they really spent a lot of time together. This is actually wholehearted obedience. They saw each other enough to know each other's needs. They spent enough time in each other's lives, seeing each other, to know this person was hungry. This person didn't have clothes to wear. This person needed a job. This person needed a place to stay. They knew one another. fellowship, that community, that belonging was to the point where they knew what was going on in each other's lives. There was one young man in our church for about a year and a half. Came every week. He left every week. We started talking. What's his name? I don't know. It took us a year and a half to get to know this one person, to finally ask his name and remember it. Part of that's memory, and part of that is just kind of looking the other way. A year and a half of someone being a part of ICS before they got pulled in. But you know what? As this person started meeting with myself and some others, week after week, getting involved, his life has changed. But it takes us recognizing who's a part of our community so that we can know their needs. Without being involved in one another's lives, without being there for each other, we're just faces, not even a name. So really, means if we're a part of this, if you feel belonging right here, look two rows to the back and three chairs over and say, do I know that person? Just as an example, know each other and get involved in each other's lives. But this is talking about wholehearted obedience in these verses here. What it looks like for us as people to be committed to one another. Now, when Jesus was doing his teaching and preaching, rich young man came to him one time and says, I want to follow you. What do I have to do? And Jesus looked at him and said, sell everything and follow me. Okay, that was a bit radical. And yet here in this early church, we see this happening. Without being told, these people in this community are selling what they have in order to give to those in need. Nobody's telling them here to do it. This is coming out of the abundance of their heart. It's coming out of their generosity. They're recognizing their being together as one. Now, this is radical. I'm saying this is radical obedience because these people were really pushing the envelope of what it means to care. In fact, the author is probably quoting or using some phraseology from Plato and Aristotle, because he was well-educated, where a true friend is someone who has everything in common. If you're my friend, whatever I have is yours. If I'm here and you need something, come ask me. This is also very Macedonian for your closest drugari, your skolski drugari, those school buddies. If you have somebody in your life and they know you from your childhood years and you've been doing everything together, when you have a need, they come. And it's all theirs because, of course, you wouldn't hold back, would you, Tomche? No, you have it, it's theirs. So this is an old philosophy, an old mindset. In fact, it's something that Jesus is saying, this really is what my community is. We care for one another. We know each other. In fact, all that I have is yours. Now, here it's actually literally being done. They're actually selling things and helping. Now, as we go through this book in Acts, through all the stories here that go on, we're going to see this is explained and lived out just as authentically in different ways. Lydia, she's not selling everything she has, but she's making clothes for the poor. So she's using her resources to help those in need. And later on, Paul himself praises the people in Macedonia for taking up a collection and sending the money back to Jerusalem to help the early church there. It doesn't say where the money came from, but they were being generous with what they had. And Paul himself says, no, when I was with visiting you guys, I worked. I made these tents and I was taking care of myself, not only so I could care for myself, but so I could help those around me, other people in ministry, and so I could help those in need. So there's lots of ways that this gets fleshed out later on in the community of believers. But right here, the author's emphasizing and the people are living it out that radical obedience to Christ makes a difference. Really, if you have something that other people need in the community of believers, why wouldn't you help them? It's coming across radically here, sharing with those in need. But it's this idea that all that I have is from God. All the things that are around me that God has blessed me with are God's. And if he needs them for his kingdom, he's welcome to them. Now, in the area of finances, this is one thing. And looking at our families and recognizing God has blessed me with children. My children are his. How he works in their life, what he does, whether they live a long life or he takes them right away, is in his hands, is a part of this. Everything. Down to the breath I breathe, my heart that keeps beating, is from God. And these early believers are living out that complete dependence. And this is because they are filled with the Holy Spirit, just like we are. The same power that's at work then is at work today in our lives, changing us, where we have same access to that. God's at work, and we are the ones that get in the way and kind of block it. So what we're doing today is opening our eyes, saying, God, I want to be fully devoted to you, your Holy Spirit empowering me, giving me this love for other people, caring for one another. So even though this is the most direct way of giving, selling and giving, there's lots of ways we're going to continue to develop in this book of how we live out this wholehearted obedience to Jesus in the area of giving. But this really is a heartbeat of Luke and Christ himself and the disciples in this early church, caring for those in need, radically. We do that already. We have the Mercy Ministries, that orange bucket. It's for dry goods, so rice and cereal and anything you can think of in a can or dry that we can fill that basket up every week. We need to be doing that. Why? Because there's people here in our congregation that have needs. And sometimes you can take a bag yourself and give it to your next door neighbor who you know is in need and say, hey, this is from the International Church. That basket is supposed to be full of food so we can give it away and help people who have a practical need today. Let's fill that orange bucket every week. It's right there in the back. Next week it'll be there too. So, all right, we got that in. We also have a basket back there for the refugee migrant ministry, which you can also put in the offerings. We're trying to take care of those that are passing through because that's a heartbeat of our Savior. There's people in need, and through our generosity, we can be a part of them, at least getting a moment of hope because we love our Savior. This community in Acts, they were wholeheartedly responding to what they had received. They turned away from themselves. They recognized that they in themselves did not earn, deserve anything. They turned towards Christ. They were baptized. They identified. They said, I am a follower of Jesus. And everything changed for them. Today we're going to celebrate Evgenia's baptism. We're going to go up to Matka together as she says publicly to us and anybody passing by, I'm a follower of Jesus. Yes. And baptism is that symbol of identifying with Jesus. The water that flows through there represents the power of the Spirit washing through our lives and cleansing us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit burning away the sin and the stuff in our life we don't want. It's a symbol of what God is doing. It's a symbol of his grace that he pours out on our lives. How many of you this morning are in need of grace? This is where the yes comes in. Yeah. All right. We need grace. We need God's change in our life. I need this. I need God's grace in my life day after day. Become like he wants me to be. And so we look at ourselves now as a church, the community life of the International Church of Skopje, the face of Christ here in the international community. That's us. This group right here, God has given us the amazing privilege of reaching our friends and neighbors, our people around us, the ones that we know. We have unique opportunities in this country to speak the name of Christ and to showcase him to the world. We do. And it's an awesome responsibility. And so if we were to make these marks and apply them to ourselves, what would it look like for us? What if we as a church reflected something of this early group of believers here? I think we would see that we as a church then would say we are devoted to God's word. Every Sunday, we use this book right here. It's called a Bible. We're devoted to God's word. We preach through the books of the Bible because we come from a lot of different backgrounds, in case you didn't know. We don't talk thematically. We don't preach theology. We preach the Bible. All that's included in here. But we walk a fine line of saying, this is what God says, and this is how I understand it. Those of us that are up front come from different theological backgrounds. I look around here and I know you come from extremes of theological backgrounds. But what do we have in common? Jesus Christ and his word. My grandfather always said, I stand on the trustworthiness of God and his word. And that's what this church does. We stand on who God is and what he has said in this book here. And how we understand it and practice it, it's going to look different in different lives. But we have this unity together. I was encouraged this week with our leadership team as we were just talking through what it looks like practically for us as a church. And one of the areas that we can do better as a community of believers is just being excited about new life in the church. Jeff and Amy, you guys have just come back with a new little baby. There's been other children born into this church that are part of it here, born into families in this church. We can do a better job of celebrating what God is doing in our families. And part of that, then, is this amazing tradition of whether we're baptizing children as infants or whether we are baptizing later on in life, whether we dedicate little children or we christen them. There's lots of ways people talk about what happens right there at the beginning. But we celebrate family. We celebrate that God is the giver of life. We celebrate that our children are gifts from him, no matter how long they're in our hands. And no matter where they are in the world today, they are still in God's hands. We're stewards, we're caregivers of these little lives. Sometimes it's for a few days, sometimes it's for a few years, and sometimes it's a lifetime of years and years. But children are our gift from God. And we can trust God with their lives. So as a church, we want to celebrate in the tradition of people that are coming. And inside of evangelical Christianity, we have the spectrum of christening and baptism of infants to dedicating them to lots and lots and lots. We want to celebrate that God is the giver of life and that our children and our families are gifts from him. So let's make this, even theologically diverse church that we are, a place where we can celebrate that it's God that we are serving and celebrating. And this is in lots of other areas. We celebrate communion as a church together. And in communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, there's so many ways of saying this is what it is. And it's divided rather than united, his church. We celebrate and we remember that our Savior died in our place. What I tell you it means doesn't change what it means. What you want to sit down over a coffee with a friend and say, no, this is exactly what it means. The point is, God has poured out his grace on you. And as you take of that communion, you recognize that he died in your place. Your sins are forgiven. And you are accepted into the family of God. This church will not be divided by tradition. We're going to celebrate the mystery of God in all of its depth, and we're going to celebrate his commands that he's called us to do. He's called us to be baptized, and he's called us to celebrate his table. And we will do that recognizing his grace. We love one another here. And this affects how we understand Scripture. This affects how we live out our lives. And we will have wonderful, amazing debates about what exactly it means. Right, Martin? We will. And it's good to be challenged and to be sharpened. But it will never divide us. Because we are one in Christ as a church. As a community life here at ICS, we are devoted to one another. We're a welcoming community. Moving all those times as a Navy brat, coming into Macedonia for the first time, you struggle to find your place in the community. Where do I fit? Where do I belong? Here. You hear my voice this morning, you belong here. Part of belonging is I plug in, I get involved. We don't really, to this point, have had membership. Membership is lots of things for lots of people. What we're working on and developing right now as a leadership team is partners. We want to be partners of what God is doing here at the International Church of Skopje. We're partnering with what God is doing. Why? Because we're here. We're a part of this group of people, and we belong. And our expectation, our mark, if you want to call it that, of belonging is you get involved, you plug in, you're in a small group, or you meet with somebody throughout the week to encourage them. Maybe you help with teaching these amazing children that we have and helping them to get a glimpse of who God is. There's so many ways we get involved. Sometimes it's just a matter of laying cables up front here and putting up a screen. All this is needed, but these are ways that we say, yeah, this is my community. I pitch in. I help. I make it mine. And those that have gotten involved through the years and made this their home, it actually hurts a lot more when they leave, like we're going to celebrate this morning, is Edgen and Yushin. There we go. Sorry. Leave. This is their last Sunday with us. We're going to pray and send them on. But it's because they've been plugged in. And we belong to one another. And we build each other up. And we send each other out to the rest of the world. Today, there's people that have been a part of ICF scattered around the world, making a difference for the kingdom. And that's what we do here. We build into each other. We encourage one another. We grow. And then we leave, most of us, to the next place that God has for us. So we are welcoming community. We share with one another. I see this happening regularly, caring for one another. But I think what defines us as a church is our heartbeat of loving one another where we're at. I asked before, who needs grace? Yeah, I need grace. It's people coming into our community that aren't perfect. Did you know that? It's because I'm here and you're here. There's not a single person in this room this morning that's got their act together, that had a perfect week. We are all in need of grace. And what this community is about is transformation. You can come however you are. You can come off the street. You can come straight out of stealing the money in the bank. I don't care how you've come here today. But what we are wanting to see and what our hearts desire is that you be transformed towards Christ. We want our lives to be changed. I want my life to be changed. And that's what we're about. It's not about me telling you stop doing that. It's about coming alongside and saying, hey, let's go towards Christ. And what does that look like in your life today? And it's going to look different. Some of us have a great facade and we look great to everybody. And inside we're torn apart and dying. And some people come in here smelling and stinking and torn clothes, and yet they're passionate and hungry and pursuing Christ. Our appearances are not what we look at. Our economic status, our gender, our theological backgrounds, these are things that get in the way of us getting to know one another and loving one another. It says about this early church that there was men and women that were listening. It says in this church that they came from all walks of life. There was people here from all around the world in this early church because they named them from the east to the west, from the north to the south, the rich and the poor, the men and the women. They were here in this early church just like today. In this room, we have people from around the world, from all walks of life. And we belong to one another. This belonging, this knowing one another, this caring, this being focused, this being dedicated to one another is what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. In and of ourselves, I think we like people that are just like us. It's a whole lot easier if you speak American English and if you've come from the Midwest for me to understand everything there is about you. But that's not who we are, and that's not what Christ has called us to be. We can speak broken English. We can speak in other languages. What unites us, what gives us that sense of belonging is Jesus Christ and His Spirit working in our lives. And then this community life here at ICS, it's being devoted to one, to our community. We don't exist just for one another. We are a place of transformation both in our lives and for our community. We want to make a difference. We want to be changing the world around us. We're missional, if you want to put it that way. We are intentional about walking out and being involved in what God's doing in lives and in the community broader than this. Skopje, it's our home. Macedonia is the country that God has put us in right now. And what can we do to be changing this country? Dr. Andy, you're all over this country, so you probably have a great heartbeat for what God's doing in Bitola and Strumica and Ohrid. Okay, Dr. Andy, if you're interested in what God's doing in some of these places, there's people being saved in Bitola. There's people being saved in Strumica. God's at work. You want to know? Ask somebody who's around this country. God's changing this country, and we as a church are part of it. We've intentionally, throughout the years of the existence of this church, given away what God has given us. A third of all the resources that we get, we give to the Macedonian churches, we give to evangelism, we give to those in need outside of our boundaries, outside of who we are. We're very intentional about that because we want to be a part of being transformational in the community around us. In the next few weeks, we'll have a financial report up through this point in the year, and we're on track. We're giving away a third of what God has given to us to build up his kingdom. So every week we have these baskets that go around as we take up a collection, and people, some say, the church just wants your money. Do I want your money? No. Does ICS want your money? No. But do you want to be a part of what God is doing in building up his kingdom? Yes. And that takes our finances. Yes. There's a great yes. Do you want to be a part of what God is doing? Yes. Then we give. Because God has given everything that we have to us, and so it's his. We give because God has been generous with us. We give so that we can be generous with other people. We don't want our focus to be on what we have. What we have in the bank, what we have in our wallet, what we have in our home, what we've brought with us, what we're taking away. No, that's stuff. We have been given the Holy Spirit, God himself, to live in our lives, and he provides for us. He entrusts us with what we have. And so we hold it with open hands, and when there's needs, we give, and we give generously. That's who we are as a church. That's who we have been. That's who we will continue to be. What God blesses this group with, we share with others. It's been amazing. We've moved to this new location. It costs quite a bit more. And so as we change one section of our budget saying we need to spend more money on ourselves, we said, you know what? We're going to spend more on others too. Otherwise, this isn't going to work. This is our heartbeat. And so far, we're on track. Your generosity is growing. Keep it up. This is what it is to build God's kingdom. You're doing well. Keep it up. Let us be a part of what God is doing. And it's not just in our finances. That's the easy one to say because it's, you know, pull it out, put it in, done. But it's a lot more than that. It's our time. It's our investment in people. It's going outside of here and actually going out after work with somebody from work and shooting a game of pool and spending time with them. It's actually going out and saying, hey, you know what? Let's go get a bite to eat and just sharing your life with people from work so they know more about you. Because how do we know about people? Unless we get involved in their lives. This early church spent time together every day. And sometimes work isn't the most conducive place to get to know somebody. So find a way to get to know them. There's a seminar coming up in November, the Global Leadership Summit. It's a chance to invite people to hear about spiritual values plugged into the workplace and becoming a good leader. It's an opportunity to invite people along with you to be developed in your personal life, but also to have spiritual values woven into it. There's flyers in the back. It'll be an English DVD series with Macedonian subtitles and workbooks in English and Macedonian. More information coming, but it's one way we can invite people from our everyday life into a place where they can at least hear and understand something more about how God affects all of who we are. Because we would not be the leaders we are today. We would not be the workers we are today unless God was changing us. And so it's great to find opportunities to speak that out into those people that are around our lives. Our community here at ICS, we're devoted to God's word. We read it. We study it. We talk about it. It's a part of who we are. We're devoted to one another. We actually spend time outside of these 3 hours. Might be this afternoon at lunch at Peter and Louise's house as we come together. But hopefully more than that. Being in a home group where you can every week talk together and share about God's word and share your lives. It's a great opportunity. They're up and going. They've started. If you're not in one, talk to me now. Not now. Today. Share your life. And have a couple people that you call throughout the week that you actually like to hang out with and be involved in their lives intentionally. and we are devoted to our community. That means we look around, we see people in need, we find places that we can help, and we do. We make a difference. This early church, it says in the last verse of the chapter, and God added to their numbers daily. That's our heartbeat, that because of who God is, because of his power working in our lives, that God will build his kingdom daily through us. So look, examine your life today. Are you devoted in these areas? Only you know. But let's work together to encourage one another to be these kind of people so that this church, this community, transforms our city and our country. Let's pray. Father God, we need the power of your Spirit to do this message, to be like this group of early believers, that we would wholeheartedly follow after our Savior Jesus, even as they did. So Holy Spirit, come and fill our lives once again. Lead us onto this path where we can love your word passionately and we can know one another and we care about those that are around us in our community. Because we want to be different. We want to be people who are markedly different than others because we follow you, Jesus. Help us as a church to love one another and to bring glory to your name. And we pray that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.